What's going on, guys? Jordan Gilman back again with another episode of the Unframed Podcast. And this one is pretty crazy. In this one, I have my man Avery Mitchell, who you've probably never heard of. But let's just say that this guy has been in company of most of the celebrities and musicians that you guys are fans of. And in this episode, he talks a lot about executive protection, which, you know, it's a lot different than just being a bodyguard. But these guys go to extreme lengths to make sure that their clients, your favorite celebrities, are protected and taken care of when they go on their trips and traveling around the world. So there's a lot to gain from this one. Major shout out to the team over at Modi. That's at Modi App on Instagram for sponsoring and providing this podcast for us. I hope you guys enjoy.
When I made the statement earlier that I do executive protection for celebrities, and I didn't say celebrity protection, there's a difference. Most people getting into the field or wanting to learn it, they just go, oh, you're a bodyguard. I do not have a problem with that word because the general public recognizes that word from film and TV and all that kind of stuff. And they go, you're a bodyguard. But there is a vast difference between being a bodyguard and being a protection specialist. Mm-hmm. And I use this terminology and these phrases. A bodyguard is reactive. They react to something after it happens. A protection specialist is proactive in preventing it before it happens. If your client is going to fly to a country, go to a city, go to a venue, go to a hotel, go to any arena, you have to advance that. That's the logistics part. You need to know where they're going. You need to know how they're getting there. If Jordan is going to a hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, he's going to stay there. Avery Mitchell, as your protection specialist, needs to know, A, where's Jordan going to stay at? Three ways for Jordan to get to that hotel. Three ways for Jordan to get out of that hotel. Three ways for Jordan to drive to wherever he's speaking at. The three closest hospitals. The three closest police departments. The three closest fire departments. Avery needs to know what floor Jordan is staying on. Does the fire truck elevator go that high in case there is a fire? I need to know who the head of security is, head of concierge services, head of customer services. I need to know all these things. No disrespect to the term bodyguard, but the bodyguard is normally just walking you in and saying we're here.
Sure.
The goal when I chose my niche was, and I said it when we talked earlier, was I wanted to take celebrities and my corporate clients and move you like the Secret Service moves the president. That's the goal.
Definitely. Yeah, so that's a pretty big difference when you really consider what all goes into it. Where, really, you know, your average bodyguard really just has to be there at the certain time and really, you know, like you said, be with them, basically walk with them.
The motto in executive protection is: if you have to pull your firearm, you have already failed.
Wow.
Because you shouldn't be there when the problem happens.
Sure. So, because I mean, I don't want to say anticipating, but it's really just really checking off those boxes on your end to make sure that it doesn't even have to get to that point.
It's
right?
80% mental and 20% physical. Absolutely.
Okay.
You're playing a chess match. You're trying to outthink the person who may have ill intentions or ill will towards your client.
Sure.
You're trying to figure out who may have a problem with your client. If Jordan has a threat, well, who used to work for Jordan? Who used to work in Jordan's house? Who did Jordan associate with that he cut off? What enemies could Jordan have?
Right.
What business deals did Jordan do along the way that didn't go well? I have to get all that bio information from you to try to factor in to first do a threat analysis to see what the potential threat may be.
Absolutely.
Then look at what the risk factor is. Threat and risk are totally different. And look at the threat and then look at the risk and now build a protection plan or some call risk mitigation to try to figure out how to minimize things from happening to you. And the most important part, not disturb Jordan's life at all from your normal day of doing business, dealing with your family, going to meetings. I really should be in the shadows.
Sure.
No one should really even notice me being there doing the job.
Wow. Okay. So my question, I kind of guess going into that is, so, you know, you have your, I keep using the word average bodyguard, average protection.
Okay, fine.
So is, in a lot of cases, are you the one kind of pulling the strings in the background and then they still have that person next to them? Is that kind of how it works?
A celebrity should always have a bodyguard.
Sure.
That is stereotypically the big, massive person that makes you back up, that kind of puts fear to stay away and back up. But that's not the facilitator of the movement of point A to B for that client.
A lot of times it would just be like a manager, wouldn't it?
Well, the manager has to understand the whole security role of it. Because if you're a manager, you're caught up in a couple of things. Number one, is the publicist doing their job? Number two, is the public relations person doing their job? Is the radio person doing their job?
Right.
Is the TV person doing their job? Is the business agent doing their job? So in doing this for 20 years, honestly, every manager I've dealt with is like, Avery, that's your job. You do your job. The booking agent bookings. The agent gets film and TV. You do security. I don't want to talk to you about it. Do your job. And you're the person that's actually closest to the celebrity because you're with them all the time.
Right. Definitely. So so in today's world, I mean, you said you've been doing this for 20 years. So you've obviously seen the shift in social media. And
absolutely.
And as far as visibility, have you had to now take into account like social media threats? Do you take that into account nowadays as far as like if somebody's trying to harass them on Twitter or Instagram? Because, you know, like
the whole dynamic of executive protection.
Okay.
The concern was always, of course, paparazzi on the celebrity side.
Yeah.
But I want to give your audience just a quick breakdown. When I use the word executive protection, people have to understand something. There are niches of executive protection. Executive protection is a giant, broad name for the field. You have corporate protection, people who only do Fortune 100, Fortune 500 CEOs. Then you have what we call faith-based protection or religious protection, people who do the mega pastors and the mega ministers.
Okay.
Then you have people who specialize in, we call it HNW, which is high net worth people. They primarily do wealthy people. They control the mansions and the villas and the residential security on those people. Then you have what we call high threat or PSD. Those are your contractors, your dying corps, the guys in Iraq and Afghanistan and other third world countries. Then you have people who focus on celebrity. That's all a part of executive protection. The difference is the nuance of how you do it.
Okay.
If someone is dignitary and government protection, well, you have the power of the government behind you. You usually have an SOP and standard operating procedures. You're interacting with law enforcement. So if Jordan is doing dignitary, he can run red lights. He can stop traffic. He can tell somebody to move a car. If they don't, they can tow it. Okay.
Wow.
There's things you can do. If I'm the Secret Service, the highest level of it, I call the highway patrol, shut the highway down. I call the city police and shut the street down. I have the parking meter people can ticket and tow cars. I can make people move, and if they don't, I can warn them for trespassing. When you're in the civilian side, whether it's high net worth, corporate, or celebrity, you have to use courtesy, kindness, and your brain to get things done. I can't make someone move a car, but I can ask them kindly, can they work with me on doing that? I can't control elevators in a hotel, but if I meet with the security manager and the concierge services ahead of time and tell them what my client request is, I can negotiate those things and get it done. And that's the difference. But that's just a breakdown on the niches of executive protection. So if you meet somebody and says, oh, I do celebrities. Okay, what do you do? The advance is an important thing in our field. Because if you don't go to where your client is going ahead of time, you're going in blind.
Right.
Like you're
that's, I mean, that's literally where it all comes from.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, how can I walk you into a presentation in a building and I don't know what ways to get in, what ways to get out? Here's a good one. I don't even know where the bathroom is at in case you want to use it.
You're like, well, there's one down the hall over here. You got one over, the, you know, six floors, six doors down.
I have to expose you to threat when I'm not doing advancing. So when I teach my courses, I teach a 5-day course, a 7-day course, and now I'm going and venturing into the new online training with Modi. And I'm very proud of this. And I say this with extreme confidence. There are four people right now who I trained who are with some of the biggest selling music artists in the world. And all those guys make six figures. And 4 years ago, they weren't making anything. Wow. So you judge a tree by the fruit it bears. So it's not about 45 countries for me.
You have some testimonials.
Right. The clients that I've, trust me, testimonials are being done every day, my friend. They're coming up. Testimonial Tuesdays, we call it on Modi. But no, I'm very proud that I touched other people.
Sure.
And I shared the gift that was given to me to help somebody else have a career. That's more important than anything I did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's cool. And especially, how can I put it to where it's like, I mean, realistically, you know, when people start checking you out on Instagram and all this, they're going to look, they're going to be like, there's no way this guy, he's not a bodyguard.
I know.
You know what I mean? But because, you know, you put up against some of these big dudes, the 300 pounds, 6'5". But then it's funny because like those guys, it's like if you go to the gym, you know, you put all this muscle on and all that and you can't fight. You know, so but people get that idea in there. They're like, oh, he's, you know, he's a big old tough guy, all that. Where it's like you put
fight, you've already failed.
Right.
But that's where when conflict happens, that's where the urban survival sciences came in with me.
Sure.
Like I am an expert at understanding violence, understanding the predator mind, understanding the triggers that set it off, and understanding threats. So yes, when your client who's very wealthy, worth $100 million goes, I would like to go to downtown South Africa and walk the streets and shop. I'm like, you want to do what? Okay, do me a favor, take off all, you know, the jewelry and everything else. No, I don't want to. That's what I pay you for. I'm like, yes, that's what you pay me for. But like, you're making this increasingly difficult. Like,
right.
No, I wear what I want to wear.
And that's what he is paying you for, so we can do that realistically.
Yeah, I know, but I would like to be our job to be a little bit easier sometimes.
Yeah, right. Right. But it's like, help me help you.
Yeah. I mean, give me an hour. An hour gives me a chance to go to the local police station, meet with police, get the crime statistics for the area we're going to, see if there's some way of me hiring local police in that country that I'm dealing with. Because 90% of protection specialists in America are not using a firearm. And 100% of the time, unless you're doing government service, you're not carrying a firearm in a foreign country.
Sure.
That's the TV and movie side of it.
Right.
You're not carrying a firearm. Primarily, it's unarmed. So if you're not using your head, you're weaponless.
Right. I mean, and you know, it's kind of funny because there's always, you know, that quote that your mind is the greatest weapon. And this is realistically, this is living proof.
Listen, my mind... Okay, I'll give you one story, and I don't like doing war stories, but I'll give it to you. In Rio de Janeiro, you know, at nighttime, we used to run through red lights because kidnapping was very high in Rio. And I love Rio. I've been there 8 times. I'm saying nothing against that country. I love it. But the kidnapping rate is very high, and everyone
sure.
knows. And the crime rate is very high. So when I went to Rio, one of my high-net-worth clients, I hired off-duty police officers and military police to escort us around the city. We were stopped one night from leaving a favela. We were stopped at a red light, and soldiers approached a car. We were assuming soldiers with AK-47s. They checked out the car. They walked around it. They looked at the driver, and the driver said to them in Portuguese, and he translated to me. He said, no, Avery, I told them, you're good. You're hiring us, and you're using us, and they waved us through. I looked in the mirror, and I saw them approach the car behind us, and I saw them take everyone out of the car.
Wow.
I said, what's happening here? What's going on here? He said, Avery, this is not America. It's Rio. Mind your business. You're free. That's the only thing that matters.
So the car behind you was not related. It wasn't in your caravan or anything.
Okay. And they would take the vehicle and they were put into another
wow.
vehicle and they were driven off with. I don't know anything that happened after that.
Right.
But it happened to us.
Wow.
That's looking ahead. That's the relationships that you've got to tap into people in foreign countries, whether law enforcement, whether military. You've got to have someone who knows the country, knows
right.
the environment, and knows the land. And everywhere you travel in the world, and I joke about this, but I kiss the ground every time I land back in America, because I have been places where you have absolutely no rights at all.
Right. No control.
Nothing.
No control, yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That's crazy. Wow. Just thinking, I mean, just the difference in that alone is that, so, and it comes down to relationship.
I've been in a country which I went to, where soldiers have told me at an event that we were doing, I said, well, the way the situation is set up, logistically, the stage is too close to the entrance, so we have to fix that. He said, don't worry about it. We'll tell people to back up. And it's a third world country. And I said, no, you're missing my point. I'm trying to explain to you that the area we're going to be in and the entrance is too close. He said, and you're not listening to me, Avery. I told you we're going to tell them to back up. I jokingly said, Jordan, what? And if they don't, what are you going to do, shoot them? And the rest of the soldiers looked at me. They didn't laugh. So I'm like, am I the only comedian? Am I the only comedian?
Because in his head, he's like, you got it.
Avery, I told you they're going to back up. And if they don't, we'll fix that.
Wow.
I went back to the hotel after we finished it. And I said, you know what? For all the faults and all the complaining we can do, I live in the greatest country in the world. This is not a lie.
Okay. Right? That's insane. You don't see it until you're actually on the ground in another country, unfortunately.
Absolutely. When you travel to countries and you go on your iPhone and your Facebook and your Instagram and your Twitter are totally blocked and you can't look at them at all, and your web browser, things pop up saying you're not allowed to view this site, whoa.
Right. Like, we don't have it so bad.
We don't have it so bad, my friend, not at all.
Obviously there's things that a lot of people think that could be improved, but when things like that, restrictions on what kind of websites you can see and that, it's like we have freedom, realistically, at the end of the day.
Hey, man,
there's a lot of freedom.
I grew up in inner city Newark, New Jersey, in poverty. I grew up, I got a college degree. I've traveled the world to 45 countries. I raised my family on doing this profession. You can achieve anything. Yes, there are obstacles. There are things that stand in your way. There are impediments. There are people who may even work against you based upon your gender, your skin color, your orientation, or whatever. But you can still do it. The key to everything is your mind. If you don't believe you can do it, you can't do it. But if you believe you can.
100%. 100%. If you can, what do they say? If you can believe it, or if you can imagine it, you can conceive it.
You can achieve it.
It's so true. And it's, especially you've been around people that literally have done that, have come from, maybe similar backgrounds or, just as low of situations and are now, some of the biggest faces in entertainment, just in the world in general.
Absolutely. Like I said, when we were talking earlier about trying to stay focused in my conversation, everything applies to the EP. Like, what about guns? What about driving the car? Yes, I teach all of that stuff. What about walking formations? Yes, I teach all of that.
Wow.
But I also teach the things that most schools don't teach. Like, do you teach your client that when they go to Singapore, it's a crime to spit on the sidewalk? Do you teach your client that when you go to Middle Eastern countries, that showing the soles of your feet is considered an insult? Do you teach your client that in certain places in Asia and the Middle East that shaking hands with your left hand or using your left hand for things are a major insult? Do you understand going to certain countries that taking off your shirt, which would be natural in Miami or certain places in America, is against the law and considered being lewd and naked in foreign countries? If you're not giving your clients the things that keep them out of trouble, if you're going to Asia, do you understand what proselytizing is? You're a religious person. Do you know how many Bibles you can take into China? Do you know what the limit is before they confiscate it?
Wow.
Who wants to have a celebrity client stopped at an airport or a business client stopped at an airport and your luggage being dumped because you have too many Bibles?
Right.
They think you're bringing religion to the country. People say, well, that's not protection. If your client gets arrested in the airport, I think it is protection.
Right.
Okay.
Because
a protection specialist or a bodyguard only has four functions. Four. Not a million. Four. Number one, protection of your client from intentional injury. That's assassination, kidnapping, murder. Number two, protection from unintentional injury. That could be a slip and fall. That could be you bumping your head, getting into your car, whatever. Number three is public embarrassment. What is public embarrassment? Your client getting a pie in his face. Your client being kissed in the mouth by somebody else while they're doing the red carpet. The famous paparazzi upskirt when your female client is in a car. Embarrassment. And the fourth one is the confidentiality, whether on paper, whether on email, whether on any kind of document, are you protecting the confidentiality of your client? If you're not doing those four things, you're not a protection specialist, and really you're not even a bodyguard, because what are you guarding?
Sure. And I mean, all four of those things.
Doesn't teach those four principles, get a refund. Okay. Well, tell them you, something's wrong.
Right. And I mean, realistically, those four things that you mentioned are priceless. As far as like a dollar amount you can put on that, you know, especially once you hit that tier, that level where it's like everything you do is on blast.
Well, every student, when we teach the course, and I use you as an example, if you're a celebrity, I go, if Jordan gets killed or kidnapped, there's no money coming in. So right. You're not getting paid and Jordan's not getting paid. Okay. Well, if Jordan slips and breaks his ankle or falls or breaks his hand because something falls on it, or he loses his voice and he can't speak and he can't teach, then income is still lost. Whatever you're doing with the client is over. Number three, public embarrassment. The media can destroy you or the media can make you. So through public embarrassment, you can destroy a client. That's why in the course we talk about things like this. It's my job to find out who's underage and who's an adult when they want to meet celebrities. Because one encounter with an underage person can drastically change the life of a celebrity, not only from a criminal standpoint, but from an image standpoint.
Sure.
And from a confidentiality standpoint, here's the technology part. For years, artists did their music in the studios. And then they would send the music from the engineer to the label. Well, a thing called hacking started popping up where I can sit outside the recording studio. And if I got the proper equipment, I can steal the song. That's how albums get leaked, because they would steal it. Going back to your original question about social media, I used to worry about paparazzi 10 years ago. Well, Jordan, everybody's paparazzi now because everybody's got eyes. Okay,
so right.
There is no getting away from the paparazzi. My role as a protection specialist changes now because I'm worried about a celebrity, not them, but the entourage. Because if you're on Twitter and you put your location services up and I know you're with that celebrity, I can figure out where the celebrity's at because I know where you're at.
Right.
So I teach people that, hey, tell all the people with you, no broadcasting, no Twitter services, no Facebook Live, no mapping that gives out locations. And there are a couple of celebrities who have actually run into major problems because people who they knew were friends with turned on their location services, or they broadcast, hey, I'm in Dubai, I'm staying at hotel so-and-so. And I look at the social media and I go, well, if he's at that hotel in Dubai, then I know so-and-so's there too.
Right. Or even just what you see in the background of a picture.
Absolutely.
Be like, oh, I know exactly where that store is, where that restaurant is.
But Avery, I've been on your social media and I'll see like you post a picture of a country. Anything I put up, Jordan, is 2 days after leaving that country.
Sure. Sure. And that's where, I mean, because there's obviously celebrities that they don't care, or like they, you know, as they're just not at that high a level. There's some that you put that out there and there's literally hundreds of people. It's like when LeBron tweeted about Blaze Pizza.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that, where he's like, I haven't had Blaze in a while. And people were just waiting for hours outside just because they knew that he owned that location. Like,
once again, if you're running a corporation or you're a famous athlete, you don't worry about your hair. You pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
You don't worry about your clothes. You pay a stylist to do it. You shouldn't have to worry about your security. You pay someone to do it. So my job is to tell the manager or the personal assistant or the artist themselves, hey, just want to remind you that telling people ahead of time that you're going to Blaze is not a good thing. You're either going to get, oh yeah, you're right, Avery, let's change it. Or you go, but I really want to go there and I'm cool with that. Once again, I'm in the service industry. My job is now to facilitate the safety and get the Blaze ahead of time and make sure it's not to inconvenience the celebrity from saying you can't do that.
Right.
It's to say, hey, you want to do that? How can I make it work from a safety way? How can I mitigate the risk? Unless I feel the threat is so great, I need to communicate to you, we should change our plans. But ultimately, the celebrity or the client is the final decision maker on what they want to do.
Right. So, and that's where, I mean, you said like those relationships is really one thing I got out of your initial statements, where it's, you know, going to a foreign country where you have relationships in place, where if you need something, you know, you get on the phone, or whether it's going there ahead of your client, making sure everything's situated. And if you didn't have those relationships, then would you be able to do your job?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, there are times when I'm going to countries 3 and 4 days ahead and had my support members bring the client so I could get into that country ahead of time to make those relationships, if I didn't have them, to ensure that we move safely around that country. Sure. Because you have to. There are places around the world where the military run the country.
Right.
There are places around the world where law enforcement runs the country. And I got to be careful how I say this. There are places around the world where the crime happens and it's facilitated by those who control the law.
Right.
Also.
Definitely.
You know, and that's like doing business with the bad people. Well, if the bad people run the place and you're going there, you kind of have to choose a friend. Okay, somewhere.
Right.
And the celebrity, honestly, just wants the experience. They want to enjoy themselves. They don't want to hear how you did it. Just get it done.
That's all. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Is that
that's what you're paying for, like you said.
Exactly.
What you're paying for. I don't want to hear how you did it. Can I go downtown? Yes, you can.
Right.
Can we go to the market? Yes, you can. Okay, we're good.
Right. That's like, you know, I'm a web designer. It's
right.
one of my skill sets as a creative. People don't care what I use to make the website, how I did it, all that kind of,
right.
They just care, does it look pretty? Does it
Absolutely.
Get me, you know, does it create more customers for me? That sort of thing. They don't care about the technologies. The more you talk about that, they're like, on to the next guy that's just going to do it. You know what I mean?
No, I think one of the gifts I have and a lot of the consulting I do is on the foreign travel safety, because people are always like, you went to what country? Like, you went to the Congo. Like, why? I'm like, because the client wanted to go. It's like,
right.
You know how dangerous it is? Yes. And that's why I made connections with people in the military there who could facilitate safe travel through it. Like, you got to develop relationships. I mean, there are people who have done military service who have called me the celebrity guy to go, hey, Avery, do you have a contact in Angola? I go, yes. Yeah, I heard about that. Would you like to have my contact? Yes.
Yeah.
And the person was like, wow. And this person was very high up in Delta services.
Wow.
He was like, I'm like, so a Delta guy is calling the celebrity guy. He was like, your name came up in a conversation that you really got people all around the world. I said, I do.
And
he was like, hey, if you ever need a favor, he goes, I got you.
Okay. And you it's funny how that works when you're so good to your connections, your relationships that you have, you just formed a new one.
And
nobody has anything bad to say about you.
I call it connecting the dots. If you connect the right dots to wherever you're going around the world in the different places, they're going to value you, because I value the relationship, I think, more than they do.
Sure.
I appreciate the service they provide more than they do. And usually I will pay more, especially in places where I know they don't make a lot of money.
Right.
With the means of income is not that great, but I appreciate the hospitality, the respect for myself and my client, allowing me into your country and ensuring that we're safe when we leave. There is no amount. And yes, clients will always challenge, how much are we spending? What is the budget on this foreign travel? But once we have moved safely through a country, Jordan, in 20 years, I've never had a client say, I think we wasted money. Well worth it.
Absolutely.
Even the client, the favelas in Rio, came out safely and was like, we should never do that again. You were right. I should have listened to you. I was like, oh, yeah. But
right. And then it's like, okay, that's what I'm paying you for right there. So then it clicks for them too, I'm sure.
It clicks for them afterwards. But once again, you did your job. The client,
right,
where they wanted to go, and they were safe. I was DMing yesterday with a gentleman on Instagram who's in the field. And I said, I feel, I guess, a frustration that there are a lot of schools and a lot of people who are really in it for the money.
Sure.
And they give the wrong message to young protection specialists or people trying to get into the field, or even clients who are traveling, who are not in security field, trying to find someone. The glitz and the glamour and the suit, and like, you're not going to have a Maserati like the day after you become a bodyguard. Like, what is this? You're not going to be on a private jet. You're going to be in coach, dude, while your client's in first class until right. the private jet comes. You might be in a 5-star, but they're on the penthouse and you're on the 3rd floor. Like, it's been so glamorized that a right. person that you got to start from the beginning. My first job ever in EP Jordan, they left me on a roof for 8 hours 20 years ago. The rain. And they forgot about me. I didn't even get a bathroom. They had left for the day and left me on the rooftop.
Wow. And you were just doing your job? That was a part of your job that day?
Yeah. I was early on. I was a newbie. So it was like, oh, you get the roof patrol. You don't get to sure. walk with a famous person. You're on the rooftop.
Right.
Or paying your dues. They forgot I was there. I was like, yeah, is anybody going to come relieve me? They're like, Mitchell, are you still there? I was like, yeah. They was like, oh, we're gone.
Wow. Okay. It's funny. And it's funny how, like, the parallel between that and entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Is where, especially like with Instagram now, okay. everyone sees these pictures of the cars, the houses, the jewelry, the, you know, the sexy women, all that stuff, the infinity pools, you know, that kind of where you're just overlooking like the ocean kind of thing, where it's like they see all that and they're like, I'm going to start a business. And then they're like 5 years later, they're like, this isn't what it was. This isn't, how did they get that? You know, like on Instagram, they made it look like that's what it is. And that's, this, it takes time. You know what I mean? I mean, it took time for you to get to this point.
A lot of my social media posts and Instagram, if you see me like in the airport, you'll see like sunglasses on. I really try to point out like I've only had 3 hours sleep. Like, and it's on to the next country.
Right.
Like, I pointed out like there are 20-hour days sometimes. People are like, oh, 20 hours? Like, how many breaks did you get? None. 20 hours. In my backpack was a protein bar, a bottle of water. Like, if the client's going, there is no like, excuse me, sir, you think I get a lunch hour here?
Right. Right. Just let you can, you guys can take a break so I can go grab some lunch, you know, quick.
Law right? says, listen, dude, you're working, I'm working. If that business meeting takes 12 hours, you're sitting there for 12 hours.
Right.
On the celebrity side and the music side, it's like we've been running all day. Now you want to go to the studio and record all night long? Yeah. And you're going to be awake. You're going to be with me. So there's a lot of 20-hour days. There's sure. a lot of, generally with a client, you try to do 20 days on, 10 days off in a month. But there are times you go 30 straight days doing wow. 18 days with no rest. That's wow. when the glamour side is like, whoa, I thought this was more. I thought it was going to be, you thought it was going to be what? On a jet? On a plane all the time? Like with a fancy car? No, dude, it's called work. It's
or
a
they
job.
Saw like, you know, they're like, oh, if I'm with this artist or whatever, then all the girls have to come to me first. So
that's a job in itself. Because if you finish a concert at 12 o'clock at night and people are coming to the hotel, and I'll be careful how I say this because of the NDAs and the confidentiality sure. of my son, you're not going to sleep at 12 o'clock because you're the guy in the lobby who's got to screen every single person coming through. How you doing? Let me see your ID. Let me talk to you. Let me check your bag. Let me see what's in your bag. No right. weapon. No cameras, no record. Like, you're not going to sleep until everyone is gone for the night. You checked on your client to make sure they're safe, and then you lay down. But if there's somewhere to go tomorrow, here comes the advance.
Yeah.
Going before the client goes there.
Sure. Especially when, you know, when you're out, say, you know, on a tour or just an international date. It's not like they have their whole week scheduled out.
Absolutely.
Where I'm sure things come up that night or they're talking to somebody at the club or whatever. They're like, yeah, boy, you know, he wanted to go out to this place tomorrow. And then obviously they have to do their, they have to let you know about that. Or you at least have to be kind of in their head as far as that, or, you know, part of these conversations. So it's like, I'm sure there's stuff that just comes up.
Listen, and spur of the moment is the nature of our business. You could be going down the elevator, heading to the lobby, going to the car, and say, yeah, we're going to this station, we're going to this interview, and a publicist goes, oh no, I changed that. We're going here ooh. Now. Like, wait a minute, no one told me that. Well, I just told you now.
Wow.
Like, we call that flying blind in the industry. It's like a publicist and a PR person, you gotta make your best friend. Because right. their job is the maximum exposure, and they'll be like, oh, I added 3 more radio interviews. I added 3 more TV interviews. I added 2 more premieres in. You're like, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, you are. I just told you.
And that's normal in their world. Just to throw it,
really
it together.
Is. It really is.
You know, that's cool.
They're
that's
getting the mission accomplished of maximum exposure. Usually you'll go right. to a man We sit down with the PR person and say, listen, I want to make your job easier, but I've got to know ahead of time where the client is going to at least advance it, or as we call a short advance, have someone else go for me. And in class, we teach it. You got to video record and photo where you're going ahead of time. So when you email it back to me, I get a visual of what I'm walking into, where I'm going, what it looks like. We literally video and count how many steps from the moment I get out the door to the hotel door.
Wow.
How many steps it takes from the building to where we're going. Like, it's that intricate because I need to know everything. I want a video to show me there's no cracks in the sidewalk.
Right.
Everything matters.
Right. Wow. Yeah, so that's definitely, it's funny how it kind of, I don't know, it sounds a lot like entrepreneurship.
I really thought it was a lot about entrepreneurship because one of the things I've looked at when studying entrepreneurship was about the passion. Like, when you're doing a 20-hour day, if you don't love this, you hate your client.
Yep.
Like, are they ever going to sleep? Are they ever going to bed? And sometimes clients would joke, like, most of my clients I have for like 5 years and 7 years, they're like, hey, bro, are you tired? I'm like, no, I'm good. They're like, no, you're not. I know you're mad at me, but it's okay.
But I mean, it's because at the end of the day, it's you signed up for that responsibility.
And you're 1,000% correct on that. You really did. It's like, yeah. I didn't call you. You called me.
Right. It's like people that's, you know, I keep going back to entrepreneurship being that I'm an entrepreneur. Right. And, you know, I surround myself with most people in that space where there's a lot of people that they just complain. And it's like the complaint, like, man, like long day, you know, I didn't even get to this, that. And it's like, dude, if you hate it that bad, why do it?
Listen, I had a good client who was a protection specialist who had a 6-figure job. And he used to always talk about that. Like, I called a client today and he was like, I asked him, was he going anywhere? He told me no. And I planned my whole day. And then he called me that night and said, I want to go somewhere. I'm like, okay, so what's the problem? But he told me he wasn't going anywhere. He changed his mind. Well, that's not right. That's not right. I think the client can change their mind anytime they want to.
Right.
If they're paying for a service. Now, if it's not what you want to do, you're in the wrong profession.
Absolutely.
That's simple.
Absolutely. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, your position, your industry requires a lot of flexibility, you know, being fluid.
Well, my daughter's
an understatement.
Well, my daughter was 6-year-old one time, Jordan. I came home after being on the road and he looked at me and said, Daddy, we never see you. So in my training class, I talked to young protectors about marriage, relationships, and being EP. It's one thing if you want to have a client locally, but when somebody says, well, Avery, I want to do what you do. I want to travel the world. Similar to entrepreneurship. There's a sacrifice in building this.
Yeah.
There's a time sacrifice. There's a mental sacrifice in that, Jordan, I put everything into a client to ensure they're safe. So for like 2 weeks, I'm zoned out. I can't think of anything except the flight, the landing, foreign customs, immigration control, moving from the airport to the hotel, getting into the hotel, not being seen, underground parking, back elevators, getting to the hotel, sweeping the suite to make sure there's no electronic bugs, no hidden cameras or anything else, getting the client into the room, and then what's happening after that. So for somebody to call me and say, hey, dude, you want to go to movies tonight? What?
Right. It's like, you know what Fortnite is, right?
Yeah, I know it.
So, I mean, there's a lot of good friends of mine where I used to play it all the time. But then I realized it was definitely kind of getting in the way where, you know, I like, it's okay if it's like I'm chilling, kind of relaxed and end of the day kind of thing, play for an hour or two. I was starting to play it a lot more than I needed.
Okay. Okay.
And then my friends are like, dude, you hopping on tonight? I'm like, man, like I love that game. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot of fun. Right. Great stress reliever. I'm like, I'm just too busy. I've got so much stuff going on where I haven't even thought about playing Fortnite. And it's been like literally probably almost a month since I even logged on at all. And it's,
if someone calls me and says,
I don't mind.
So on TV, I go, what episode, what show, what character you talking about? I'm like, I have no concept of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on tour in June and all of July to 9 foreign countries with a client who generally does 70,000 or above in a stadium. There was no TV. There was nothing. I mean, I got like literally 3 hours sleep on a monthly tour of 9 countries, 3 hours every night. And on my IG page, I see sunglasses on my face every day in the airport for a 6 a.m. flight to go to the next country.
Wow.
If you love what you do, you're not going to do it.
Right.
But more importantly, if you're not good at what you do, people who sell hundreds of millions of records are not going to keep you.
Right.
This is really a show and prove profession where your performance is everything. You can bluff your way into a job. And I teach this in a course. You can bluff your way into anything. But trust me, once you get there, the performance will show immediately whether you know the job or you don't.
Right. Same. And I mean, that's a lot with branding, you know, social media marketing, same exact thing. Anyone can talk a big game. Anyone can say, I can generate these numbers for you. I can do this, you know, run these campaigns for you. If those results don't come, you just you exposed is the best way to put it. And you know, for you, and I'm sure it's the same exact thing, like it is in branding, marketing, creative, that sort of thing, where in your business, you excelling as far as, you know, saying what you're going to do and actually coming through on that to a T, it meant like the referrals that you can get. I'm sure it's the exact same kind of thing where, you know, if somebody brings it up in a conversation, they're like, oh, I know a guy and he does what he says he does.
That is 1,000% correct, because 90% of my business over the last 20 years is a referral. But where you going? I'm going to Brazil. Oh, I got a guy for you. He specializes in that. Where you going? You're going to Ethiopia. You're going to Angola. You're going to South Africa. You're going to India. Oh, I got a guy. And I get that call. Hey, you know, your name came up. I'm like, oh, it did. I'm like, okay.
That's when you know you're doing the right thing at the end of the day, no matter what business you're in. You know, it's half the time when you go out to eat to a restaurant, it's because your friend told you about the service you got there, how good the food was.
That is 100%. It's funny you talk about that. And like, I know the thing is unframed with you. It's like thinking outside that box.
Yeah.
I take executive protection and I apply it to the restaurant in this reason. When you go to a restaurant and you go there and eat, you choose what you want. You look at the menu. They do say to you, hey, Jordan, the chef recommends this. You go, that's nice, but I want this.
Right.
I'm in the only profession that when a person is untrained, they go to a client and say, you need this. You need that. You need this. You need that.
Wow.
So you're going to tell them the service they need without asking them what they need. You need to ask them what they need, what they want. Do the risk assessment. Do the threat assessment. See what the dangers are. And then sit down and critically plan with the client what you need to do.
Sure.
The old school way is going, I'm an expert. I know what you got to do. Let me tell you how to do it, and it's my way or the highway.
That's babysitting.
They go the highway.
Right. I mean, especially when there's guys out there doing what you do. Why would they go with that? You know, when they can have the guy that, I mean, it might cost, like we touched on as far as what people are willing to pay for it. It might cost more, but at the end of the day, it's what they want. You know, it's like my brother and I have had this conversation in the past, kind of off topic, but as far as like shoes.
Okay.
So say you go out to like the Nike outlet.
Right.
And there's, you know, like a $50 pair of shoes that it's cool. Like, you know, say they're for the gym. They get the job done. But then you see like the $80 pair, the $100 pair, and you're like, man, those are the ones I want on my feet. And then you're in this battle where obviously if you just don't have the money to pay for the more expensive pair, don't do it. But it's like, if at the end of the day, if that's the pair you really want, get the pair that you want. You know what I mean? Whatever's actually going to, at the end of the day, be what, and I don't want to say satisfy, because obviously it's a material item, but you know, it's kind of somewhat similar. Yeah.
There's no different than a client who goes, respectfully, I met a guy at the club. I could pay him $200 to do this. And I think he's going to do a good job. And then when the public embarrassment happens, or the confidentiality is breached, or the intentional injury happens, or the unintentional happens, they go, where's that guy who charges $1,000 a day?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah. There's so many examples of that.
Right.
In real life. I mean, paying a cheap web designer, You really get what you pay for. You know, this is a perfect example of that, where people, and it's almost more perfect because it's so serious as far as their lives are at stake. Their careers are at stake. And people want to skimp on that sometimes.
When you go through a business manager or your accountant, they usually only see numbers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in my field, it's kind of reactive in this sense with a client. It usually takes something going wrong or a threat rising to go, we need to get the other sneaker.
Right, right. Or, you know, as far as health goes, where it's just crazy because talking about this, I've literally got like 1,000 analogies now in my head.
Okay.
But it's, you know, as far as health, where say that, you know, you put on a lot of weight and you're obese. Right. But you're like, I'm fine. I can eat all this pizza, this candy, this, you know, all that stuff until you have the heart attack, until you go to the doctor and you find out you're a diabetic.
Right.
And then, you know, people want to make the change if they even do then. And it's when they should have known better. And that's just humans. That's just human nature, is to go with whatever feels good to you at the time, or, you know what I mean? Until something goes wrong. And
it's funny you say that, and it's a true statement and it ties into it. And I wasn't even going to bring this up, but like one of the things we talk about in training now, I've added health to the EP courses because literally there have been in the last 2 years, at least 4 protection specialists who never made it to 36 years old.
Wow.
Passed away from heart attacks, from the health, because of how you eat on the road.
Wow. That's crazy. So that's a whole other dimension, realistically.
Absolutely, because you got to budget your time. You can't eat when the client is moving. So, and I'm not going to name any brands because that'll be damaging, but I can say this. There are only certain places you go around the world that's open at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Sure. Let's just say not healthy.
Okay. Right. And that's, I mean, literally same thing, entrepreneurship. And when you're, I mean, even if you're just working some people work 12-hour days, 15-hour days for their job.
Right.
So it's like they can just go pick up what's quick on the way home from work. It's like that's so many factors.
A dollar meal becomes very essential at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
But then you realize over 2 years, 3 years, you go, man, I don't feel too well. But then you go to the doctor and go, yo, your cholesterol is, your
right.
pressure is, you're like, you got to understand the job I do. This is the way I have to eat. Like on the last tour I did, I purposely made sure that I ate healthy and I actually dropped like 7 pounds on tour. And people are like, how are you doing it?
I'm
like,
usually it's the opposite.
I went to a foreign country on my days off, Jordan. I would jump in an Uber and find the farmer's market.
Wow. In the farm
and bring it back to the room. And when I wasn't doing room service or ordering, I would make my own salads and make my own food to stay close to the plan. Like I'm very proud of my, I've dropped 40 pounds this year.
Congratulations.
And I got off all meds that I take. You know, it's a blessing, but it's a discipline that I had. And I had like 5 people from the tour was like, how do you do it? Like, how do you stay energized? Like, how do you have the discipline to eat? I'm like, because you want to live.
It's a binary choice. It's either this or that.
But I applied the same discipline that I did to EP and to martial arts, finally to my personal life and how I ate and how I worked out.
I love it. I love it. It all goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And you already, you know, proved that you could accomplish it in one area. So it's just kind of translating to the other.
I think that's my greatest accomplishment, and the health has impacted the EP even more. People are like, man, look at you. Like you're like, yo, you look like you're 10, 15 years younger. I'm like, no, I feel that way. I'm energized. Like even for our call today, I went and did my hour on a treadmill. I said, I got to be invigorated. My friend said, what do you mean? I'm doing a podcast. I got to do an hour on a treadmill. He goes, that's going to tire you out. I go, actually, it's not. It's going to get me going. Yeah. My juice is flowing.
That's how every day I start with the gym. I don't go to the gym to start my day, I have a terrible day, honestly. I have a hard time taking rest days for that reason. Because, you know, you imagine it's – and there's people that's like, oh, you clearly aren't working out hard enough. No way. Like, I'm tired when I leave the gym. Then I get home, shower, you know, get my meal in, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. Like, it makes a world of a difference.
And some days I do 16 hours of intermittent fasting and then I eat.
Okay.
I'm good.
Right. No, food. So I've practiced intermittent fasting as well. Okay. As soon as I have my first meal, I'm like, ugh, I'm ready for a nap. Doesn't matter if it's 9 a.m. and I woke up at 5 or 6. Like, as soon as you eat, it's a whole other game.
The fasting comes in handy and helped me, for example, like, let's say I was on tour and we got up at 6 a.m. We've been running all day. We did a show midnight, get back to the hotel. I've got a 3 o'clock in the morning pickup at the hotel to get to the airport at 6 for a connecting flight to another country. There is no meal in between. So somebody goes, yo, Avery, are you okay? Like, you haven't eaten since when? I go, I think that was like 14 hours ago. I'm fine. They're like, 14 hours? I go, hey, man, I got 2 hours to go. I normally fast for 16 hours.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. So, I mean, we could go on for 2 days probably as far as things like that. What would be, you know, based on everything we talked about today, as far as whether it's like the foreign travel, even if you just said stuff as simple as trying to avoid getting kissed on the red carpet, you know, things like that. Is there one takeaway as far as maybe a tip, even not even just being a celebrity, just being an individual as far as the mentality?
Right.
Yeah. Anything, any advice like that you could give out quickly?
I'll give you 3 quick things. And I think this applies for every human being on the face of the earth, not just celebrities. Number one is situational awareness. Be aware of your environment. Look at everything around you and just check and look at things. Number two, move a little bit slower. Not in your drive, not in your motivation, but in looking at what I call the small in the all. And the word all is in small. Look at the little things in life that make the difference in what you're doing, and you will catch things before the small becomes big mistakes. Number three, this is not going to be an EP thing or a martial arts thing. It really is. You got to believe in yourself. You got to have confidence in yourself. And if your mind is right, you will draw the positive energy things to you to be happy and be successful and be safe. Those 3 things are more important than anything. Anything other than that, go hire a specialist.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. Perfect. I love it, man. I love it. Love it. All right, Avery. So where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you as far as whether it's hiring you or, you know, your training?
The world can find me on Modi right now under my screen name, Avery Mitchell, AveryMitchell. I'm doing online EP consulting. I'll be doing the Urban Survival Sciences training. I'll be doing the certification training. Everything I've done over the years where it's been in person, I've come to realize that everyone can't travel everywhere to get to me or to meet me or to spend a week with me. And I realize that people want to talk to me. So now, like I told the guys at Modi, like, I wish this existed years ago, okay? Right. But technology finally caught up.
Right.
But reaching me on Modi is the best way to get to me. Like I said, and I'm here to teach and coach and train and bridge that gap. And even for the person who's not an EP person, who just wants to call and say, hey, we're traveling to this foreign country, we're going here, like, how do we stay safe? And that's what I do. I coach them.
Perfect. All right. Well, there you guys have it. If you want to get in touch with this legend right here, Modi.